Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. There's been some difficulties with that lately. Don't worry. I'm sure eventually it'll get fixed out. Articles are still there though. Thank goodness for that. And we managed to clock up the archives for last Friday's show, I believe. US hit with radiation cloud and the GE free shopping campaigns. Our interviews with George Hemringer, live from the California radioactive coastline, and Nicola Grace, the spokeswoman from Health Freedom New Zealand, talking about the GMO free campaign. In other news, Russians have confirmed that there have been no actual air attacks launched against Libya. They've been monitoring it by satellite, right? And the missiles have been coming in. And the media has been reporting and showing us stock footage shots of jets flying and stuff like that to say that these jets are coming in and bombing Libya. But the Russians from their satellite feeds are saying, nah, there's been no planes whatsoever. Isn't that interesting? And also, Will, you have something to say about the Libya attack as well.
Well, I just think it's really, and hi to folks, sorry I've been away for a few days. I just think it's really a sleight of hand move, isn't it? It's like, look over there, look at Japan, look at Christchurch, look at all that's going on in the world, and here we do a surprise attack without anyone really saying much, without any real criticism. Even the UN is just pretty much holding back and staying out of the realm of judgment, or other than saying we need to have one voice. It's Ban Ki-moon today. One clear line of discernment from the UN, just that's an authoritative stamp. But they've called a ceasefire so far, so I suppose that's got to be one positive outlook. What do you think, Vinny?
Well, I don't know if the fires have ceased, as far as I know, after 110 somewhat effing cruise missiles. There's probably still a lot more blazes currently going on.
Worth about half a million US each, so yeah.
Oh, mate, that's bound to help the arms industry and the US economy in one fell swoop. You get to kill the sand people, and you get to make some money, and you get to have the added extra effect of watching the awesome explosions when they kill them. Isn't that just entertainment tonight? Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it a lot. Slaughter and conquest and taking over what isn't yours is just such a national pastime these days, isn't it? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you can check out our fabulous archives and good articles there as well from the feed provided by gorillamedia.co.nz. New Zealand's unconventional news. We'll be right back, folks. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. 402-237-2525. Back in a moment. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, apparently. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news, which has been blowing a few records lately for the amount of hits that it's been getting. I'm actually genuinely surprised. Now, speaking of genuine surprise, who would have guessed that an Israeli security company would have been doing the security at the Japanese nuclear facilities that are now currently blowing up? Who would have guessed? I found that actually pretty hilarious, that headline. Because, after all, there's always somebody out there who's trying to tie Israel to something. And, you know, what's interesting is they don't actually have to try very hard. For some reason, whenever there's like some massive terrorist attack or some description of disaster, and lots of places or whatever, there's an Israeli involvement. And I don't know, why it just turns out like that, you know. I saw a picture today, speaking of Israeli involvement, of a, it was just so horrific, disgusting, man. You know what happens in Palestine, right? When this school got hit by this white phosphorus, so it kind of like sticks to you, that kind of thing. Saw a guy holding up a kid, but couldn't have been more than 1 or 2 years old, missing leg and just blackened to nothing, you know. It was so horrifying, man. The kind of thing that you wish wouldn't happen, but you know happens all the time, and you just decide that you're glad that at least it's not happening to you, you know, because that allows you to deal with it. Whoa. Are we a connected humanity here? Are we we don't give a F about other human life humanity here? Or are we just trying to be realistic when we, you know, just passively accept the fact that people in other countries are dying? After all, there's people in your own country dying. There's all these problems. Everything everywhere is a problem. Everything's a crisis. There's nothing but a series of crises. And that's been the whole entirety of human history, really. There's nothing but a series of crises. We thrive on crisis, man. It's what makes us strong. It's what makes us who we are. We're capable of being pulled through even the darkest of times through to the light on the other side. I don't know what the difference is between somebody who really kind of cares about their planet and their people and what have you, and somebody who just wants to smash it all. What is the fundamental difference? I mean, in your opinion, I mean, does somebody have to be a particular type of person born in a particular type of family or household and it'll become a sociopath that just wants to kill everybody?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you see it in the upper elite echelons, and they obviously engineer that. Like they send their young off to the military to kind of harden them up a little bit after being born with a silver spoon in their mouth. But then you also see it down at the lower end of the scale, down the ground with the rest of us here. Just because, I guess, if you're on the receiving end of generations of poverty and crap, and people tend to, you know, harden themselves and to become, I guess, a little bit ruthless, cold sometimes, and see that the colder they become, the easier it becomes for them to survive when everything's raining down on them. So perhaps you get psychos either end of the spectrum. It's probably something to do with hardship, something to do with not having a conscience.
Well, that reminds me of a Simpsons episode I watched last night where Mr. Burns lost all his money on the stock market, that kind of thing, and he'd hired all these yes men lawyers, and they wouldn't tell him he was making the wrong moves. And so he winds up on the street, and he teams up with Lisa to create a recycling plant and all of that kind of thing. And he uses the beer six-pack holders to fish the entire sea dry of all life and then grind all of the creatures up into a can and then sell it as a multi-purpose product, right? And he said, well, I'm doing it for the environment. It's all made with 100% recycled animals. And this strikes me now as what happens when you, every single spectrum of what you want to do with your life has a dark and a light side to it, I think. You know, you can be trying to save the world and knowing and unknowingly turn yourself into a psycho killing machine. As I'm sure probably happens to a lot of well-meaning young gentlemen who join the army or something. I mean, that's an assumption on my part. I've never met anybody that's actually regretted it.
I have. I think, you know, when you're dealing with something like the army, it's a different beast because they're not entirely in charge of their own direction, are they? I mean, they're subscribing to something where it has a chain of command and they've got to follow orders or, you know, be thrown in a military prison or something. But, you know, so they're not in total charge of their direction, and they've consigned themselves to something they supposedly believe in. You'd hope they believe in it before they join. Otherwise, you know, you're doing all this training for something you don't necessarily agree with politically. It seems a little bit weird to me. But then often you find that these guys, after seeing stuff for real, and they have to see some nasty things, obviously, and engage in some pretty immoral activity, one could say, their politics are often altered for the better. So, you know,
it kind of extremizes them. It's like, I think that the same thing happens with activists. Like, if bad stuff happens to them, they then become, because they were a little bit of a pain in the government's side, if the government then does something really bad to them, it makes them even worse. It's quite
either
funny.
Either scare them away or harden them, one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, like, what's the breaking point, though? I mean, what is it that has to happen to you before you give up? I mean, for a lot of people, it's if their family gets threatened, then it stops. You know, there's no way I'm gonna risk my family. For some people, that think it's like, well, you know, come hell or high water, it's important enough to sacrifice everybody in the name of it. I don't know what the heck that really means. To tell you the truth, I don't understand what it really means to sacrifice absolutely everything. You know, because I think that myself belongs to myself, and I need to take care of myself, right? Because hey, that's my number one priority, is to stay alive, isn't it? And any organism picked with a situation where they're going to live or they're going to die, they'll probably choose life. But for some reason, in our society, some people choose to take their own lives, whether slowly or surely. and many people, they're dying for no good reason either, because they were diagnosed with some kind of a slightly elevated mood by some freaky psychiatrist. Is that many real psychos everywhere? And you talked before, Will, about how somebody would go into the military, you know, regretting it, wishing they would have trained for something else. I wonder if that's true of a lot of university students. Apparently now in the United States, 80% of college grads have to move home. The epidemic of students that are qualified not being able to support themselves has now been called full nest syndrome. They've even got a
full
name.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, look at the student loans. I mean, look at the huge financial burden on people before they can get off the ground. That's, you know, coupled with job shortages in lots of areas and often certain skill sets not being appreciated. So, you know, people go and get a BA from Auckland University, say. What's a BA even worth these days? I mean, everyone's got a BA. It's like school certificate back in the days, or NCEA as it's now called here in New Zealand. It becomes such a common factor that you don't stand out in the marketplace, in the labour market, that is.
Yeah, that was a joke on the Big Bang Theory, actually, the other night, and he says, I've got a master's degree, and the guy goes, who hasn't? You know, and this is the thing, these, what we've come to term, you know, useless pieces of paper, these degrees that people have had to labor and work over and get monstrously into debt in order to get these pieces of paper, don't pay off in the conceivable future. So what do? They go and they study again to get another piece of paper.
Yeah, career students, yeah.
It's so stupid,
because a lot of people like the lifestyle. Well, a lot of people like the university lifestyle.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for the university lifestyle, you know. Being drunk all the time very, very cheaply, and having bad food very, very cheaply, and living very, very cheaply, you know, and partying all the time, that kind of thing. I'm sure that's the university lifestyle. But, you know, if you're actually there to do the work and things of that nature, hey, it's a different story. I wonder how many people get sucked in to do university because they just want to be part of the lifestyle and don't actually really care so much about the degree. You know?
Lots of people who go to university who don't know what they want to do in life. So they're just there to fill in time before they discover themselves or decide on any sort of career path. So they'll study something, they'll do something like a BA because, oh, you know, I don't know what I want to do exactly. Any degree is better than no degree. It shows a work initiative. It shows a learning capability. That's all I need on my CV to get XYZ admin job or something.
Oh, such vision. Hey, well, have we lost our imaginations these days? Have we been so dumbed down, so propagandized, so punched up in the brain places that we can't even have any original thoughts anymore, that all we want to do is just be a drone? You know, I mean, maybe largely that's the whole. Is that what people actually really want, or are they just begrudging to do it? I mean, you know, there's got to be somebody out there who's like a corporate banker or something who wanted to be a guitarist.
Well, a lot of people don't take risks, you know, so they see jobs laid out and they look on, you know, all the websites now where you can find certain jobs, and, you know, that's 75K, that's 60K, that's this, that, and the other. I need 3 years of study behind me to get there, and it's simple. It's step A, B, C, with a little bit of luck in between, a little bit of who you know. And then the only risk takers you find are supposedly, you know, venture capitalists and guys like that. And you find they often have the path laid out for them also. Going to the best schools, going to the top universities, meeting the right people, surrounding themselves with money. And, you know, it doesn't become much of a risk for them either at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, they've got a whole support network at the end of the day. It's like they've substituted that for family, and so therefore they don't really care about anybody else's families.
it's all a system. It's all as above, so below. So if the whole monetary system's corrupt, if the whole leadership system on this planet is corrupt, which it largely is, if people want to dig into it, then why should it be a surprise that that sort of scope is reflected in the workplace? Yeah, that sort of hierarchical system is reflected in the workplace, that everything about what's at the top is reflected down at the factory floor level. That's exactly what you see.
Well, yeah. Well, it's all projection or whatever, you know. It's like these people that have inordinate amounts of influence, you know, people who are in the public eye, things like that, they have an immense amount of responsibility to the words that come out of their mouth, you know, and it's like people can get fired over saying the wrong thing. All right, conveniently, I'm on American Freedom Radio, and they don't have any rules like that. Like Petra Bagist, our presenter for, I believe it's the TV One breakfast program, was a very, very hit show up until they fired the guy. They had a guy and a girl, you know, Pippa and what was his name? Paul something? I forget. But anyway, they're the replacements coming in, right? And she says, oh, well, you know, there's nothing to be concerned about. about Japanese radiation. It's all just being hyped up out of proportion, you know. There's no danger to anybody in the United States, you know, and they're all afraid and buying out all these supplements because their government is just fear-mongering. It's like, well, excuse me. The government hasn't been doing any fear-mongering. In fact, they pulled the videos of them ordering the women and children to be evacuated from U.S. bases in Japan. Okay? They are not telling anybody about this. You know what? Barack H. O'Berry, our Lord and Savior from the Barack H. O'Berry deliverance regime, is doing? He's going to the freaking basketball. All right? This is not a drill. The reason why people are freaking out in the United States is because they're listening to the alternative media, okay? And it's all those people who are much better in. Yeah, well, it's much better. It's the people who are much better informed are going to tell you much more interesting and far more poignant information than, oh, well, you know, you don't need to worry about anything. You're just going to be fine. You know, when they tell you everything's going to be fine, that's when you run. You know, there's something definitely, definitely wrong here on a grand scale. This is monstrous, catastrophic. Now, that may be something that sounds very scary, but what if it's followed by, ah! Is it quite as scary now? You know, we've got to laugh at these things, man. It's terrible. Yes, understandably. But for F's sake, if you get taking it too seriously, too paranoidically, or whatever the heck, if that's even a word, then it gets out of proportion. Right? Forget who you are. You start acting like somebody else. You know, stop it. Stop taking things quite so seriously, man. It'll kill you. Something like 9 out of 10 illnesses are caused by stress. Far out. What on earth are you worried about? What are you worried about so much that it wants you to get sick? And I can tell you, there's so many things to worry about. There's innumerable. You know, too many for any one person to manage alone. To be sure. But you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, conveniently enough. It's the lighter side of genocide. We'll be right back after this break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Proudly brought to you by gorillamedia.co.nz. We'll be right back in just a moment, folks.
My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out 1 million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission, I have it all under my command. Because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end a planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, brought to you with gorillamedia.co.nz in mind, New Zealand's unconventional news. Now, Will, you just put up a video on the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group, and radiation is actually good for you by this woman named Ann Coulter, a quote-unquote conservative author who's saying that, oh, there's this growing body of evidence that radiation is actually good for you. It's like, for F's sake, give me a break. You know, I mean, what kind of timing is this? everybody's like worried about the Japanese radiation leak, and all of a sudden this lady comes on saying, hey, cancer's just absolutely fine for you. Does nobody remember any of the Chernobyl cover-ups? You know, they didn't want anybody to know anywhere near that this was bad. And I've had people saying that, well, what happened in Chernobyl was way worse than this because it breached a core and all of that kind of stuff. It didn't throw masses of amounts of fuel rods into the air and disintegrate into powder. Did it? In a massive mushroom cloud. I mean, come on. What is there to what is there to discuss here? Radiation ain't good. That's right. Just like you've always been told, radiation ain't good. But if you really think about it, aren't we surrounded by radiation all the time now? You know, I mean, these electronic devices we've got, even the wristwatch on your frickin' wrist emits a little bit of radiation. You know, and we're starting to get like conditioned into thinking, oh well, you know, it's not that bad. It's like, well, hold on a second, we shouldn't have any. We had Loren Murray on the show a while back, who's an absolute expert in radiation and is invited to Hiroshima conferences and things of that nature. And she said that the scientific consensus is there is no safe level of man-made radiation. No safe level whatsoever. Okay? Try and tell that to these TSA workers who are sitting there behind a freaking screen that's made out of nothing but paper and plastic, if that, against an enormous freaking naked body scanner that's going to be pumping out more radiation out of them than their sperm can handle. They're going to get hurt very badly. What is the big idea here? Not to mention it freaking cooks anybody who goes into it. It's like a microsecond of being microwaved.
what also has to be understood is technically the difference between forms of radiation. I mean, because, you know, and even an oven puts out radiation. It's called heat. So does a fireplace. And so it's understanding different forms of radiation. And then, but obviously it's always dumbed down. So when Ann Coulter says radiation is good for you, what was she referring to? Cobalt-60. She wasn't talking about the sun or an oven. She was talking about cobalt-60, a radioactive isotope of that element, which is considered by science to be highly dangerous to our tissue, to cause mutations, to be able to change the cell structure, that is. And then Coulter goes out and uses the straw man argument based upon one little incident in Taiwan years ago where the government later found out that an apartment block had been constructed with material that contained cobalt-60 at 5 times the recommended government maximum dosage. She says the minimum dosage, doesn't know what she's talking about. And then she goes on to say then these people living in this building for more than 10 years had a far lower incident rate of cancers compared to the general population who is assumed to be exposed to less background radiation. Hence, her whole thesis, her whole argument was based on one little incident, not a large sample, not a large taking, not like, you know, we have Chernobyl babies for a reason, Ann Coulter. You know, like, a total idiot. I mean, you know, having 3 heads is not a positive mutation. It's not a strengthening of the gene pool. Some people are just nuts. What she demonstrated is the lengths that people go to rationalize a problem. Okay, so there's radiation coming this way. We can't deny it now. All the alternative media was talking about it. All these bad guys, all these bad conspiracy theorists are talking about the radiation that's going to hit the west coast of the United States. Already has. So what we've got to do, we can't say it's not happening now, so what we've got to do is say it's okay for you. And it's the same here with this Petra woman on New Zealand TV. It's the same with all of them. What they're trying to say is, oh, it's just certain elements who are fear-mongering and they're trying to profit from that, or, you know, they're trying to start anarchy or something, foment violence by talking about facts, talking about things that could hurt people. So, I mean, that's all it can... What do you think, Vinny?
Well, if there's anybody who profits off human suffering and fear-mongering, it's the mainstream media!
But that was Petra Baker's point, you see what I mean?
Well, and you can be dang sure as bacon that there is no possibility that these people know precisely what radiation is or what's actually going on. There is no way. Reporters don't know jack Shiite Muslim about jack Shiite Muslim. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. You can't have intelligence-informed people actually on a microphone talking and talking and talking. After all, that would make the public informed. That's not a good idea. Disinformation is the key, people. Jeepers creepers. You act like you don't want to be brainwashed or something. Breaking free of your programming, I'm sure, has become quite the difficult prospect. After all, we've got so much things programming us that is just unbelievable. I feel like a computer program half the time.
This is
like
the complexity of it. I mean, the mainstream, the alternative press and alternative thing has been saying for decades now that the mainstream media uses fear and they're fear-mongering all the time to try and, you know, divide and conquer people and whatever else, keep people distracted and at each other's throats. And so then when the slightest bit of fear emerges about where this radiation from Japan could be headed towards, which is the whole planet pretty much, it just revolves around east to west, Petra Baker then plays the role of someone who is outside of mainstream media, supposedly in her mind, saying that, oh, it's just the US press that's fear-mongering. See, because it's become in vogue, it's become popular to say that. But then at the same time as saying that, she is a mainstream media and she's part of the cover-up. But then she knows that the average person, well, she might just be one of these average people, who isn't smart enough to work that out, that what she's done is kind of like a switch and grab. It's a double-double.
Trouble.
Yeah. That a real danger does exist, and it's okay to say when a real danger exists, it's not fear-mongering. What's fear-mongering is to say, you know, if Britney Spears doesn't get her hair transplant, then, you know, Hollywood's going to melt down and that will cause, you know, industry to collapse on the West Coast or something. I mean, it's the sort of nonsense they come up with on Entertainment Tonight. I mean,
yeah.
That's the energy we don't need around.
Yeah, we have a comment here from the chat room. From Revolt Now, Ann Coulter, like all others of her ilk, are trotted out in front of the media to brainwash the zombies and sit there all day and soak it up. Then they set them against those of us that are awake, and sooner or later this peace, love, and mung beans, Shiite Muslim, will be seen through and people will start to eliminate the naughty people holding the reins. I kind of had to clean that up just a tad, but it's all good. And I suppose that's actually really true, isn't it? You know,
that's true.
Isn't the media kind of like an all day street parade? You know, that's basically what it is. You know, oh look, there's jugglers and whatnot.
here in New Zealand, we had this guy, and we spoke about him last week, Ken Ring, who suggested that there's a link between lunar cycles and weather patterns. And he's not talking about HAARP or anything that, you know, we're well aware of here that probably caused the Japanese incident and the Christchurch incident, truth be told. It's all scalar energies or anything like this. He's just talking about the moon that, you know, revolves around this earth and causes thousands of tons of water to move around with it, possibly affecting tectonic movements. And then the media, using this attack dog over here by the name of John Campbell, primarily a few other shill radio hosts and associated scum, went after the guy saying, you're not, it's not science, it's not respected by the geological survey, it's not mainstream, you're a kook, you're spreading fear. Look, people are running away from Christchurch, people are sleeping with their young children, packing storable food and water and in their cars. You're doing a terrible thing here. You cannot push people's buttons this way. That's the government's job and government's job only.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Doesn't the government and civil defense run ads on television saying, what if a disaster happens right now? Are you prepared? Do you have all this water? Do you have all this food?
Exactly.
Have you got a plan? Well, hold on a second. They do it all day on mainstream TV. But if some guy just says it on some crappy little YouTube video, all of a sudden he's some social pariah. What's it
going? Well, he said, look, there's going to be a major earthquake on the 20th of March. And the 20th of March come along, and nutcases like in Christchurch, New Zealand here, we have an occult freak wannabe called the Wizard. And he, you know, gets around in a black cape and pointed hat looking like a Klan member or something. And he... This freak said that Ken Ring is some sort of loony skeptic. I mean, and he said, I'm going to be on the streets of Christchurch 20th of March with the cameras to prove him wrong. And guess what? 20th of March come along at about 10 p.m. and there was a 5.3 earthquake. and so on the Campbell Show. On the Shill Show yesterday evening, I turned on to see, okay, what's this scumbag going to come up with now? Because they're never going to apologize. They're never going to say, oh, he was partly right when no one in mainstream science could have predicted this quack. No, they said it wasn't big enough, that there needed to be more death and destruction. It had to be over 7 for them to consider his theory to hold any water whatsoever, because it wasn't a historic earthquake, as was supposedly the terminology used on Ken Ring's website, that his theory couldn't at all be considered, and he's still a kook and he's still crap. And then all people over Facebook I know calling this Ken Ring a you-know-what, an F-something or other, and getting angry because some guy said there could be an earthquake on the 20th. What's wrong with people? I mean, what's wrong with people that they just can't for a moment consider another guy's theory, or they can ignore it, or, you know, life goes on? Why do they get so offended? I'm going to love it when people like us rise to the surface more, Vinny.
Well, you know, it's like we're all crabs in a bucket, and we're all trying to claw our way out of there, but we don't realize that if we stand on top of each other, we can claw our way out together. And a lot of us, we just, anytime one of us gets up close to the rim, get pulled back down again. You know, that's basically what the truth movement has become. And I wouldn't call myself a truther. I don't know exactly what a truther is. Come to think of it, I know that there's broad based spectral analysis and whatever about 9/11, but there's a lot of truthers out there who go far further afield than just 9/11, and it goes into much deeper avenues. So I don't think that it's such an accurate term to use for anybody. But I suppose patriot really kind of resonates somewhat, because that's really what it is all about. It's about trying to save our countries from supranational scumbags. And we've all got our own countries to protect. We're all patriots. And as far as we're concerned, we respect patriots of other countries because we understand how they feel. And how I feel when I look at my mainstream media, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's state broadcasting. I own it, dang it, in part. So I'd like to see something on there that doesn't, annoy the living bejesus out of me. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. That's 402-237-2525. Back in a moment. Whose side are you
living, so don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery. They print a $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan.
Welcome back. Interest, so there'll never be enough Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Join us in the chat room at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. There's a few people in there as we speak. And the number to call in, if you're keen to just tell us what's on your mind, 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. And one thing that I've been kind of looking at recently, a lot is this radiation sort of thing, and the oceans being contaminated by these enormous plumes, which, man, the footage that you see on George Heminger's video of the enormous radiation sort of plume snaking its way across the entire ocean, like some description of enormous radioactive cloud of anaconda-like slitheriness. It's so freaking, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It doesn't even come into the fear bracket, right, does it, Vinny? I mean, preparation, taking some like potassium iodide, is a healthy option regardless. When potassium iodide runs out on the shelves, go for kelp powder. I incidentally had some here even prior to this whole incident, to throw in with spirulina or whatnot. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. There's nothing wrong with boosting your body's resistance to toxicity in general. And so do that. Err on the side of caution and look to boost your immunity.
Well, yeah, and if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, we have a couple of products there. We've teamed up with healthy.co.nz to get you some iodine drops and stuff. We're not sold out here in New Zealand yet, as it is sold out in the US, so I hear. So, get in there and you can get 50% off your shipping. And I'd highly recommend this for the people in the United States at the very least, because it is probably a very good idea to err on the side of caution. I mean, I'm all the way down here in New Zealand, and even I am, so I wouldn't recommend anybody do something that I wouldn't do myself.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And keep in mind that a lot of people suffer on Western diets anyway. A lot of people suffer from iodine deficiencies. And it affects, different glands in our endocrine system. So, I mean, it's important to take anyway, and always consult your health professional. But other than that, just do some research online, and you'll see that it's a positive step for most people to take, especially women, especially middle-aged women. But yeah. I don't know if there are target audience on this show. Angry young men only in the truth movement.
Well, no, actually, okay. It's I was looking, interestingly enough, at the type of visitors. You know how you get like demographics on YouTube, that kind of thing, and it's actually kind of split. Really, it's about over a third women, and out of the men, the biggest group by far is the 45 to 54 bracket.
Okay, is that for the website?
It's for the YouTube videos, man.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting, because we're talking about people who have gotten onto their career path and all of that kind of stuff, and now they're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. All right.
Excellent. So, I mean, the demographic side of things, for my own YouTube channel, it's 16% female, 84% male, and then most of those males in the 45 to 54 year old bracket, and very few. We're talking about less than 6-7% 18 to 24, which I find sad, because that's where the action should be. But yeah. 45 to 54 year olds and male. So I guess it's a reflection of where people's heads are at. But this sort of information, questioning the establishment, questioning mainstream media, taking an interest in self-determination over our bodies and our own governments, shouldn't be a minority fringe demographic. It should be something for men and women alike, young and old alike. So hopefully, in the larger scheme of things, it can balance out, because even looking at some of the bigger blogs, like looking at Above Top Secret, if you look at ATS's demographics, very similar story once again. It's about 70% male, 70-75% male, and middle-aged also. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we can have a more rounded world one day where everyone takes interest.
Where everybody takes an interest. Well, you know, it'd be interesting to see what donation organizations can wind up doing, because I think the whole discerning shopper phenomenon might disappear. Because everybody takes an interest. Yeah, so yeah, I'll give a couple of bucks to Greenpeace or whatever. Why not? I don't think that anybody really cares quite so much these days as perhaps they have in the past. But maybe that's the whole point of living, is to try and bring the past back around again in the future. Because if it keeps on repeating itself, after all, isn't that probably the best thing that you should really wind up doing, is attempting to bring about better times that used to be here but have since disappeared? You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Check it out on the web and join us in our nice chat room, 402-237-2525. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, brought to you in proud collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Barack Obama, the weakest president in history, ineffectual, invisible, unable to honor pledges, and now blamed for letting Gaddafi off the hook. Why Obama's gone from yes we can to maybe we shouldn't. Let us cast our minds back to those remarkable days in November 2008 when the son of a Kenyan goat herd was elected to the White House. It was a bright new dawn, even brighter than the coming of the Kennedys and their new Camelot. JFK may be considered as being from an ethnic and religious minority, Irish and Catholic, but he was still very rich and very white. Barack Obama, by contrast, was a true breakthrough president. The world would change because, obviously, America had changed. As campaign slogans, yes, we can, are turning to be more about no, we won't. Even more worryingly, it seems to be very much about maybe we can, but do what exactly? Oh, Oh, such is the complications and terrible factualism that rises when you have idiots being elected as puppets to psychopaths. Idiots serving the psychos. You know, you assume, well, is that not Parliament in a nutshell? I mean, you can't call it a democracy, can you? You can't call it a free society, certainly not. Well, I mean, some people would argue with me there. You say, oh, well, at least you can say this stuff without being having your door kicked in, Vinny. So, therefore, because you're allowed to say this stuff, shut up.
Yeah, I hate those people. I wish they'd have their doors kicked in, to be honest. I mean, how smart is it? When we talk about, you know, whether there's idiots in power or psychos in power or whatever, if you look at just the costs of engaging in these wars, when governments around the world, you know, when the British government's cutting back on tertiary education and so that it costs about three times as much for the average punter out there, when the New Zealand government is taxing just everywhere, they're going to TradeMe, they're going like New Zealand's equivalent of eBay, they're going to even just minor websites like CarJam, which was a database of vehicle information in New Zealand that was used by vehicle retailers and automotive mechanics to check on registrations and so on of vehicles. Used to be a free public service. Then the government put a cost on that website. Now that cost has been onlaid to, once again, the users, the taxpayers. The governments around the world are just looking for any pennies they can find. But then at the same time, we see them expanding the wars. And so from 2001 to 2007, that whole occupation over there in Iraq cost over, like minimum, $600 billion. Just in 6 years. So $100 billion per annum. Those costs have been escalated in recent years, especially with the number of troops who have been injured. Adds like $400,000 per troop. It's ridiculous. And now they're looking to expand into Libya. I mean, just how absurd is this when they're saying, give us all your pennies, we're broke, we owe all the central bankers. By the way, they're backing a new war of ours. They're backing the expansion of this whole war in the Middle East as if it's, you know, World War III, the final world war, as was talked about all those decades ago.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Two articles here from Guerrilla Media posted by After America's blog. Operation Take Libya's Oil has begun, and World War III, one nation at a time. So essentially, this is what One Nation at a Time says, the globalists are infiltrating, corrupting, and turning the entire planet, one nation at a time, in a combined scientific geopolitical dictatorship that will be effectively impossible to reverse once it is completed. The latest Western-fueled conflagration in the Arab world indicates an accelerated regional strategy of destabilizing and taking over target nations. Nations like Russia and China, whose interests are being directly threatened and stripped away in this malicious melee, appear powerless and unprepared. Some nations succumb in silence behind the scenes. Others are invaded, mercilessly brutalized, and assimilated into the globalist combine. The civil society overlay the globalists use to establish what amounts to a subversive shadow government is always creeping forward, no matter how hard a target nation may try to ward it off. Only in most extreme cases, such as Gaddafi's Libya, have civil society been uprooted entirely, making military invention an acceptable and inevitable alternative from a globalist perspective. It's the thing. You will either do what we tell you to do in the way that we want you to do it, or we're going to force you to do it in a way that you don't want to survive. That's the ultimatum that you really face here. And if anybody thinks that this, oh, well, you know, that's in Libya, that's miles away, it's not going to happen to you. You know, it's World War III, one nation at a time, exactly as it says. There is something happening in the Middle East, and it doesn't all look rosy by any stretch of the imagination. And it's causing, it's being used as a justification for enormous oil price hikes. Even though there's more oil than anybody could ever love, and refineries are now backed up with back orders, they've got all the oil, but they're just shutting down refineries so that the supply is being choked, and there's ships in port and they've been sitting there for ages, millions of dollars a day to get their freaking oil into a refinery. I mean, come on. It's a total freaking scam. And on top of it all, these types of crises, and like during the it feels like another world war coming on. I mean, have a look at the historical parallels here. What was happening once the United States entered into World War II? Okay, it was suffering a depression. Lots of stuff got blown up of theirs, and then all of a sudden there they were. What have we got now? It's like a global mega banking depression, oil crisis, and resource crisis, and everything crisis, all compounding onto one, and the United States is going around blowing everybody else's countries up all the time. You know, doesn't that sound kind of like a world war's brewing? You know, slightly bubbling away there, not in a very, not in a very therapeutic fashion. Yep. It's quite a terrible one, that. One would consider, of course, that maybe it's not such a very good idea to be warmongering right about now. Eh? You know, what the heck is the United States' idea here? You know, they're not being controlled by anybody who has any logic about what they're doing. Heck, you're already involved in copious quantities of wars. Now you want another one? What are you talking about, man? It's like your Scrat on Ice Age, a little squirrel rat trying to stop everything from falling apart but always getting hurt. It's not the best way to run a country to go out and attack everybody. I mean, what happened to alliances? Whatever happened to negotiating, talking, or anything like that? It's because none of that really matters anymore, because they don't care, right? The people who run the United States don't care about diplomacy or anything. They just want to take over. They want to instigate fighting, wars, genocide. They're psychopathic, crazy people. They're out of their freaking minds. And what would a completely bonkers person do? They go to war. In a place that they're completely unfamiliar with, probably couldn't even find on a map. the naivete. It's not exactly the brightest spark that has ever been produced by the universe would develop that kind of a strategy. Unless, of course, it was for evil means, destabilizing means, and fomenting a freaking world war type means. Hmm? Doesn't that sound like a brilliant idea? But that's my theory, of course. I don't exactly know. I've only interviewed a couple of people based on the Middle East situation, and they're pretty much all in agreement. This is a possibility. So maybe I'm kind of leaning towards that. I certainly hope not. You know, you prepare and you expect the worst. But as far as, you know, the worst actually coming, hey, I don't know. Let's hope for the best here. This is, what have people got against being prepared, man? I can't believe it. Now, well, I thought that when it came to Libya, what are they? They produce like 2% of the world's oil or something like that. Invading the country for what? For what purpose, you know? Did the UN actually order them this time? Because that's what I heard, that it was some kind of a UN resolution, and then all of a sudden the bombing started.
As far as I know also, it was a UN decision. Yep. The French were the first to take up that initiative. And then the British and Americans followed. And the Americans fired, you know, 110 of those missiles in, and God knows what else.
Mm.
I mean, it's just part of. I think it's part of a larger screenplay, to be honest. People can read what they want into that, but I really do think it's part of the larger screenplay of a war with the kings of the East, as it were. I don't see it as any more of a resource strategy, especially not compared to the surrounding countries. I mean, like you said, it is only slightly less than 2%, as I understand, of our crude oil supplies. And I don't see it as the most strategic point for them to invade if that's all that was at stake.
So there had to be something else going on, you know, and this is the problem. I don't really know what's going on. Now, if I had a strong belief structure, and I'm not sure if I actually do, right? My belief structure is kind of weird, right? Because it changes all the time. Because I try to keep up with what the heck is going on and what evidence is coming in. You know, I can't afford to rigidly and blindly believe in things anymore. You know, it just slows me down. But I really, really just I've got a bad feeling, man. I really do, and I don't think I'm the only one. You know, all the information that I'm receiving from both mainstream media and alternative media says that, you know, we're all screwed, totally. Yeah, and in no uncertain terms. So I could conceivably say, all right, okay, that's the reality, and freak out about it. But I choose not to, for some reason. Even though, you know, I work very hard and try to make sure everything gets done with the show and all of that sort of thing, but I think that maybe I'm working for a lost cause, you know, and I think it's healthy to question what it is that you're doing regularly, you know. Really kind of analyze what it is you're doing with your time, with your life. Is this the best use of my time? And fortunately in my life, almost all my time is taken up by doing something that's necessary. You know, I'm not sure if there's very many people who can say that. Even rest is necessary. I wonder if there's anybody out there who's never actually done anything useful in their entire lives. I doubt that those people exist. I mean, there's people who do more than others. But one thing it's taught me, really, when you're like working really hard on a project, like, you know, the Vinnie Eastwood show, is that you realize just how much you can accomplish when you do have your mind set on it, when it really means something to you. And if only everybody else would you know, have that sort of strength of purpose and can't make any excuses. I mean, time's too short. Time's far too short to be waffling off like that. You know, come on. You've got to get it together. You're the most powerful person you know because you can literally dictate your own life. It's unfortunate because it's quite a lot of responsibility taking your own life in your hands, you know. But it feels, you know, great. You feel free. Feel like you can, you know, get up in the morning and do anything, and frequently do. And you know, you got to enjoy the little things, man. Despite the fact that, hey, you know, it's a nuclear disaster. There's an earthquake disaster. I know everything looks really terrible and bad right now, and but I can assure you, you know, it's just going to get worse. I hope that's comforting. Yeah, because it's just so horrible, you know, the prospect of entering into a world war and man, there's so much stuff about, you know, 2012, end of the world, freaking economic crisis, nuclear crisis. Oh, my God. Cacophony of crisis freaking everywhere. It's almost, you almost get tired of it and you sort of switch off and you think, well, F's sake. Could be worse, you know. I could be dead already. In fact, even if I was dead already, it'd probably be preferable because then I wouldn't have to stress out so much about it. That doesn't mean I'm going to force death's hand and take my own life or anything along those lines. Ah, heck no. What's the point in that, man? It's always a good idea just to keep plodding along. After all, there's nothing that can stop you from progressing, more than yourself. You know? Time's ready to, like, stand up for what you believe in or ship out. You know, you've got your goal in mind here. It could be freeing humanity, saving your family, or making a bit of money, or losing some weight. It doesn't matter anything, whatever the heck you're trying to do. Just get it done, you know? Don't talk about it. Don't plan it. Just do it, you know? And that is something that will get a heck of a lot more accomplished than just talking about it. You know, you really, really do have to take the next step. Planning, that is a good idea, but don't let the planning disrupt you from actually doing something. Okay? Not when you can strike while the iron is hot. I mean, right at the moment here, because we had Benjamin Fulford on the show the morning of the Japanese tsunami, I now got, like, real high honors on YouTube and stuff, and I just had my view counters wound back again. It's so annoying. They keep winding them back. Well, I got up to like 1700, they took it back to 51. I got up to 4000 and they took it back to 800. It's so very, very annoying. Cannot for the life of me.
You need to get screenshots of that and post it up there.
I really do. Because it's just annoying. But I did take one screenshot. Was when I was a number one partner for YouTube for New Zealand. You know, normally those accounts you need to pay $250,000 for, but they gave one to me because I upload so many videos and such. That was pretty freaking awesome, you know. And you can have a look at the videos on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com there as well. If you're keen, ladies and gentlemen, 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. You can join our chat room there at the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com. We're talking about a few different things here today. And I want to mix it up a little. Because we've got earthquake possible in California. That's an article up there on guerrillamedia.co.nz. Isn't that funny? Like, the fear is just going to be hyped up on every single pulpit here. Another headline. The end of freedom is here for America. In brackets, please say a prayer. Oh, hey, well, look. It's all freaking crisis until you read a headline like this. A renewed spirit of hope in Egypt. Did you know that the elections in Egypt are in full swing and everybody's really, really positive? You know, they got Mubarak out. They're holding some new elections. This is really quick. Everybody's saying it's just phenomenal speed that it's going through here. And to be honest, my suspicion of it being a globalist takeover is starting to wane. But then again, it could just be one of their ploys. But this is just the word on the street that everything's, you know, real nice and hunky-dory with Egypt. It could be worse, like I say. Now, again, pressure rises again in Japanese reactor, and this is just the unfolding event of the century. Like, honestly, nothing else is being covered. Am I the only one who's getting slightly frustrated with this? Like, even on my own website, even on my own radio show, it's all we're talking about. Well, what's your take on this? I mean, do you think the coverage that this story is getting is absolutely appropriate? I mean, but it does deserve its important role, right? But What they've had now is on Al Jazeera last night I was watching, they had a listening post special with Global Village Voices, you know, website editors and things from around the world. And they're all saying that, you know, this is basically just blown out of proportion by the media and everything's fine. You know, well, of course everything's fine because all you're talking about is radioactive particles that you can't see, can't detect, can't taste, and you're going to get cancer a little bit down the track. Of course everything's fine right now. You know, are you thinking Chernobyl, everybody just dropped down dead all of a sudden? No.
It's just a limited perception, Vinny, and Al Jazeera try and play the role of alternative media, and they, you know, they get these bloggers and whatnot on and their little cams and pretend it's grassroots. Yeah, I mean, and it might be grassroots, idiocy. You know, it doesn't really make it accurate journalism just because they've got guys on webcams. Yeah, I mean, it's, the issues are where the issues have always been, if you ask me, and that is trying to break down the left-right paradigm and the so-called political spectrum, trying to break down what democracy actually is, a complete joke on us, and understanding the monetary system, understanding, you know, the actual grassroots in terms of our food and water and how our local governments operated. I mean, these are always going to be the issues. Always going to be the issues. And but Libya and Egypt and Japan will stand as healthy distractions for a while. Not to say that what's going on there isn't serious to those people, but for the rest of us, life goes on. And for the people in charge of our lives here, it's very good to have these global incidents occurring.
Well, you know, if it's like Rahm Emanuel said, right, never waste a crisis. And I don't want to appear insensitive or anything like that, but this crisis can be used for a good purpose, I think. Number one, nuclear power is absolutely insane. Let's use this as a opportunity to encourage all the free energy technologies that have been suppressed with all the some thousands of patents that have been sealed under quote-unquote national security. You know, that's what Ben Fulford talks about, you know, and some people, you know, dishonors credibility or something along those lines. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know. I haven't investigated to be sure, but I do know from many different sources that there are free energy technology devices out there that are just basically suppressed. Okay. And if we could have those instead of nuclear power plants, wouldn't that be a much better idea? Free, clean energy that isn't going to destroy the entire world. I would have thought that that was quite a logical step, but no. It's probably because the public consciousness is so dumbed down by mainstream media that even if there were free energy devices around, they wouldn't hear about them because the mainstream media is so totally censored and up themselves that they would even consider the possibility that they even exist anyway. Because I've been a journalist for 20 years and I can ambush old men with beards. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We're halfway through the second hour for today and we will be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Thank you very much for all the people there in the chat. And also the number to call in is 02237-2525 if you've got anything to say or talk about. I mean, and I particularly kind of want to hear from people in California or any of the radioactive zones to see what the media coverage has been like in those particular areas, because as far as I've been led to believe, whatever information or warning you're supposed to be getting usually is coming from alternative media sources or through freaking YouTube. You know, those are the best ones that I've seen thus far. None of the mainstream media comes close to really giving you in-depth coverage of this stuff.
Too many conflicts of interest, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Least. At the very least.
Yeah, and what is the problem right now? Here in New Zealand, on the other hand, you know, what have we got to worry about? In terms of the radioactive thing, I mean, everybody's like going, sweet as, you know, we're far enough away. Now, one part of me wants to believe that and just go, well, it's all good. New Zealand's going to escape the worst of the radiation. It just means we'll be a little radioactive. You know, supposedly these particles are now in 80% of the atmosphere. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I wish that I had some kind of a crystal ball. I could tell people, you know, what to do and how to protect themselves and all of that. But I don't. I mean, I know that a lot of natural health providers essentially have just been going all for the iodine supplements, which you can now buy at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. As the Surgeon General said, it's probably a wise, cautious move. But, you know, in terms of radiation coming out everywhere and some kind of Godzilla-type scenario, I don't know. New Zealand's going absolutely nuts. Anyway, nuclear crisis or not, because the fuel crisis and the economic crisis are bad enough on their own. You know, government selling off our public assets, and they're talking about nothing in particular on the media worthy of any consequence. And it's mostly all about the Christchurch quake or the Japan scenario. I mean, New Zealand is not hearing anything about New Zealand at the moment. You know, I mean, what's the most important story in New Zealand at the moment? Oh, yes, the Rugby World Cup is not coming to Christchurch. Well, whoop-de-effing-do. And the government, the Prime Minister, was too chicken to even come out and say that to the people. They had to speculate it until they had to put the speculations to rest. You know, come on. They're lily-livered, chicken-neck cowards. They have no concept of freedom or free will for that matter. All they know is enslavement and destruction. You know, I've gotten, I don't know, maybe I've gotten bitter in my old age to think that every time that a politician opens their mouth, they're lying. I mean, maybe that's actually what truth really is. Truth is whatever the opposite of a politician's telling you. You know, maybe that's a fairly nihilistic way of looking at it. But hey, it's a heck of a lot more true than saying whatever a politician says is absolute gospel. You know, we've all gotten so trusting. And I say a suspicious mind is a healthy mind, just as long as you don't get unduly paranoid. I mean, if there's people following you, sure, you know, by all means, wipe your car for bugs before you put on your seatbelt and monitor it for explosives and get a special dog and such. You know, that's cool. If you need it, I mean, if you really, really do need it, then paranoia is perfectly okay. But if you're not exactly the center of attention of the intelligence agencies, then there's not much point in being absolutely paranoid and out of your mind, because, hey, you're too insignificant. They only target people of interest, okay? Unless you're really, really getting something done or doing something or whatever the heck to make you an absolute danger to the state, they're basically going to leave you alone. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to be a one of those kind of people, because they're the people who normally get stuff done and actually improve society, because we live in such a horrible thing anyway, that it's the people who've become apathetic that think that they can't do anything that are the real problems now. All right? And don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. You know, spreading information around is probably more powerful than you'd ever give it credit for.
Well, you know? The ironic thing about what you just said there, Vinny, is the people who believe that no individual can do anything or no powerful groups of individuals could actually change anything for the better are the same people who say there's no organized conspiracy against us, which leads me to say, well, if there's no organized conspiracy, then why wouldn't you be able to change things? You know, it's the same people who say everything's random and everything's by chance and it's just a bunch of, you know, circumstances and coincidences. Are the same people who say, oh, but you can't do anything to change those coincidences.
Mm.
Kind of funny, that whole paradox.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, and I think that the whole truth / patriot / trying to find out what the hell is going on here movement is just so fractured because, I don't know, maybe we're all a little bit confused sometimes about what's really going on. And because our perceptions are changing all the time based with new information, it finds it difficult to know what's really going on. And that's the problem with having too much information and not enough time to contemplate, is that you don't know exactly where you are. You know, you feel lost. And I think this happens to a lot of people, because of the fact that there's so much to do that you don't know what your breaking point is. You don't know how much information is too much information. You don't know how often you have to rest or how often you have to talk to other people in person, you know, that kind of thing. Some people get reclusive. It's a very bad idea. I mean, I know a fair few reclusive people, and I don't know. They're sort of difficult to communicate with in a lot of ways because they're not really versed and practiced with that whole face-to-face communication thing. And if you can't communicate properly, it leads to misunderstandings, I believe. But a lot of cases, of course, people just outright lie about you. And this happened to me in countless conversations, you know. Oh, Vinny, you believe that planes, every single plane in the sky drops chemtrails. It's like, well, no, you just lied and made that up. It's the inanity, because you reach points and arguments with people where you suddenly click on and you think, hey, hold on a second, I've noticed an interesting phenomenon in this conversation. Instead of you telling me what you think, I'm telling you what you think. And instead of me telling you what I think, you're telling me what I think, right? So the two people who know each other the least are trying to tell each other what each other's views are and not getting to know one another at all.
And this the thing is, when it comes to arguments like that, I was going to say, when it comes to arguments like that, when there's a kind of a mainstream person defending the establishment having to go at us, it's easier to know what they're going to say, and I can have a far greater, or any of us can have a far greater understanding of where they're coming from than they can understand where we're coming from, because they're in the default position that all of us at some point are subscribed to. You know what I mean? So it's much easier to understand where they're coming from, but they can't understand where you're coming from. So if you say that, you know, like I've had people go on and say, oh, you think that Parliament's a Masonic lodge and you think that, you know, there's some grand conspiracy at the top of things and everything else, and you sort of say to them, well, yeah. And then they take it to extremes and say, well, does that mean that this individual, and I knew someone who worked in Parliament, and then this individual, does that mean they're some sort of, you know, warlock? And so they, what they do is they get the complete wrong end of the stick, basically. But at the same time, I can understand where they're coming from in their so-called skepticism much better than they can understand our side of the coin. And that's a difficulty. they're not willing to want to open their minds and just consider for a minute that, okay, I could be wrong here. Suppose, you know, Vernie and Will are talking some sense. Let me look at it from their point of view for just a minute. And if it doesn't, you know, tie up, if there's no logic to it, then I can attack them. But they don't. They just fly off the handle at the slightest little suggestion that anything's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't like in any way, shape, or form being involved with people who fly off the handle like that. You know, it makes me not trust them. It kind of makes me uncomfortable to be around them, that kind of thing. I mean, even if they're the nicest people around and I love the way they talk and the way they think and all of that, man, I mean, if they can't stay calm and be civil or sort of thing, you know, through all types of things, it's like, wow, man, I mean, there's 7 billion other people out there, you know, I don't have to stay in this kind of abusive relationship. And that happens with a lot of people, is that they know somebody so well that they think that they'll never get to know anybody this well ever again. When in actual fact, no. I mean, you can make new friends pretty easily. You just got to find them is all. And, you know, that's difficult for some people. But, you know, me personally, I'm randomly out everywhere all the time. It's impossible to not meet new people. It literally is impossible. And, you know, at least I'm not locking myself away. And I'm getting more influence, you know. I'm listening to people that I've never listened to before. I'm developing concepts that I never thought I'd think about before. And everything just seems to progress in some way, shape, or form via all these different people that I'm meeting, you know. It's like every person has a new flow of potential or something along those lines for me. And maybe this is the reason why I kind of feel really happy about living this sort of lifestyle where I'm working real hard with the radio show and doing the videos and all that kind of stuff, because I do like the opportunity, the excuse it gives me to go out and meet new and interesting, exciting prospects in my life.
Well, I mean, a video you did a while ago where you ambushed John Key. You spoke to a guy called Brooke Howard Smith, and Brooke Howard Smith is a TV presenter here in New Zealand. And I've actually met the guy a couple of times too, off the record. He remembered his little meeting with Vinny, which was quite entertaining. But he said one thing that I agreed with in that point, and he said, well, you know, it's in meeting people and having such discussions, having deeper discussions that we're not generally allowed to, that we all become smarter people. We all become more intelligent for it, in understanding different perspectives. And so that's why I do like to, you know, when we get critics of the show and they send abusive emails or they come after you on Skype or whatever, I do like to engage them a little bit. People say, why don't you just ignore them? Because I want to know where I'm going wrong, and I want to know where they're right, and I want to sort of learn from that and progress from that. At the same time, I'm known to take a firm line with people, as I did with that guy, Shannon Phipps, when he was last on. Because there's just certain things I can't unlearn, and there's certain things I can't be, you know, I just can't be told off on that I know, that I demonstrably know to be true. And so that's where I draw the line with these people. And that's where I will come across as a fundamentalist, and I will, however they want to perceive it, if they want to throw certain connotations at a system of belief, then so be it. It doesn't bother me. Because you shouldn't waver or modify your truth for someone else's perception or their digestibility of information. If you do that, you're a propagandist.
Yeah.
If you start altering reality, if people start altering reality so someone else can digest it more easily, I mean, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's where I draw the line.
So. Well, there you go. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. You know, like, perfect timing there, Will. Right on the break. Skipper. Dang, Skipper. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It was a conspiracy, that's right. And we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment coming up. 402-237-2525. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. If you are a fan of the show, we have many ways to get in touch. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, there are different places where you can go. For example, you can go to Guerrilla Media, you can read our articles, you can send me emails, you can follow us on Twitter, you can add me as a friend on Facebook, you can go to the RestoreTheRepublic.org social networking site, the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group as well. You can hit us up on YouTube with our YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and the Vinnie Eastwood Show channel, the... And, of course, one of the things that I do want to mention quite specifically is Planet Earth Awakens 01's YouTube channel. This fabulous gentleman, Timmy Blobbing, has been making our videos and putting them up online in little 15-minute segments for us almost since the show began. And I'd like to thank Timmy quite a bit for doing that for us, because he's just so freaking awesome, frankly. Now, I would consider, of course, that the content that we're building on this show is starting to get actually pretty cool. You know, if you go to the radio show archives, you have a look at all the people that me and Will have interviewed, and it's, it's getting pretty up there with other professional talk radio shows and things like that. And, well, we're just doing it because we love it, and it's got to be done. Anyway. Back to the news. Now, what was it talking about? Oh yeah. This is a funny one. Well, the Ohare radiation detectors go off after flight from Japan lands in Chicago. Radiation detectors were activated at O'Hare Airport Wednesday, after several planes from Tokyo landed in Chicago. In the last 24 hours, five or six planes landing at O'Hare from Japan tested positive for radiation, NBC Chicago reports. The levels of radiation were reportedly way below anything harmful. And you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of like the story that came out a while ago on Intel Hub, and a few other people were talking about it. That there was going to be like a nuke going off in the United States. Well, here you have it. Here's your nuke. Yep, some nice nuke soup just arriving on planes from Japan. You know, it's imported nukes. You know? Kind of exotic, you know. If it's a Japanese nuke as well, it's bound to be more efficient and break down on you less and guzzle less gas. According to several news reports, some passengers coming off the planes had traces of radiation on them. Chicago Mayor Richard M. Delaney said the federal government dictates how to handle these situations. And, you know, people are coming off the planes with radiation detected on them. Hold on. Didn't the Japanese government say, oh, everything's fine, there's no freaking traces of radiation, like, anywhere apart from, like, just directly around the reactor core? BS, they're covering that all effing up. They got all the statistics and probability spectrums and whatever the heck analysis they can do to give people some real information about how bad this radiation truly is, but they're not actually releasing it, okay? How can you say that a situation is really bad or really crap if you ain't got any information to come off of? Well, I'd probably say that if they were holding the information back from you, then the information's probably not very good. Every city can't have a policy, Daly said at Thursday's press conference. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, one says yes, one says no, you can't do that. You have to have a federal policy thingy dealing with anyone entering the country in regards to a situation like that. NBC reports that radiation detectors at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport were also set off. U.S. Customs and Border Protection is monitoring developments in Japan carefully and is specifically assessing the potential for radiological contamination associated with the ongoing impact of the earthquake and tsunami to Japan's nuclear facilities, Customs and Border Protection spokeswoman Cherise Miles told CBS. So, you know, if the situation wasn't that bad and if the radiation was so easily contained, then why are they setting off radiation alarms when they land at foreign airports? Now, maybe there's a couple of reasons for this. What do you think, Will? I mean, maybe they've been contaminated while they're just on the airports because, hey, there's just plenty, there's enough radiation around to contaminate people and aircraft. Or when they're flying up, they fly through all these radioactive particles that have been spewed up into the atmosphere already, and then they've still got them when they land again. I don't know. Those are theories on my part. What do you think, bro?
Yeah, I mean, so likewise here. I mean, it would have to be one or the other hypotheses there, Vinny. I mean, no one could put their finger on it, could they? You'd suggest, though, that these sensors they have would be very sensitive, and so, once again, the levels may not be above toxic. You know, who knows? Who knows? What we can know is that there's been a meltdown. This material has been ejected into the air. It is then circulated in the atmosphere. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for the sea life. While it was blown away from Japan and going out to the Pacific, it's not a good scenario all around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I would get depressed if I wasn't just having so much fun on the radio talking about disaster. Maybe that makes me some kind of psycho. Who knows? Maybe it does. In which case, I'm sorry. But, you know, life goes on. Maybe for not too much longer, but... like I always say, man, it could be worse. Because you're still listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.